Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back here to Normal's Daily Audio Stash today. It is Thursday, November 29th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal right now. Help us end marijuana prohibition in America. You can make a big difference by joining Normal today or making your donation at norml.org. And boy, do we have an interesting audio stash for you today. We're going to speak with Danielle Schumacher out in Oakland, California. She's the Chancellor of Oaksterdam University, offering training for the cannabis industry in California. We'll speak with Danielle about the course curriculum and how Oaksterdam University got started up. Tomorrow in the program, we'll speak with Richard Lee. He's the president of Oaksterdam University, and he's teaching some of the classes, including the horticulture classes there, with an in-depth look at more of that curriculum and how Oaksterdam University is going to continue training folks for the growing cannabis industry in California. Also in the program today, we'll speak with Danny Danko, the cultivation editor at High Times Magazine, in our roundup of the Cannabis Cup, which went down last week. We'll have a full list of the winners at the 20th annual Cannabis Cup and speak with Danny about his experience as well as what it's like being a judge there at the Cannabis Cup. That's coming up first here today. Also in the program tomorrow, we'll speak with the former director of Normal and the man leading the Sensible Amsterdam tour in January, Richard Cowan. We'll get a chance to check in with Michael and Jason at CS Travel, those who are operating the Sensible Amsterdam tour. We'll talk about Amsterdam and what folks can expect out of this educational and recreational visit to Amsterdam. That, again, will be taking place in January. More information about the Sensible Amsterdam tour is available right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Speaking of Amsterdam, let's go down the list of the Cannabis Cup winners this year and check in with Danny Danko of High Times Magazine. The 20th annual Cannabis Cup took place last week in Amsterdam and featured the most competitive cup ever. More seed banks, cultivators, and coffee shops were involved than ever before. This made for a spectacular event, but it also made for a lot of work for the staff at High Times, not to mention the celebrity judges who decided the winners this year. So, without ado, let's go down that list of Cannabis Cup winners. Have you ever spoke upon a purple haze? The Cannabis Cup winners this year, let's start with Best Booth. Coming in at number one is Barney's Farm. Number two, DNA Seeds. Number three, Greenhouse Seeds. For the Product Cup this year, Barney's Gift Bag was number one from Barney's. Vapezilla Vaporizer from Wicked Roots, and at number three, VapoStar Vaporizer from VapoStar. In Import Hash, in that category, number one was Triple X, also from Barney's. Number two, King Hassan Supreme from Greenhouse United. Number three, Riffman's Habibi. And in Nader Hash, number one was Violator Isolator from Barney's. Number two, Bubble Mania from Greenhouse United. Number three, Gray Crystals from Gray Area. In the Sativa Cup, number one was Kia Kush from Apothecary. Number two, Tasman Haze from Kiwi Seeds. Number three was The Perps from BC Bud Depot. In the Indica Cup, number one was Top Dog from Amnesia Seeds. Number two, Crimea Blue from Barney's Farm. Number three, Reserva Privada 18 from Reserva Privada. And the overall Cannabis Cup, number one, G13 Haze from Barney's. Number two, Chocolope from Gray Area. And number three, Super Silver Haze from Greenhouse United. Barney's Breakfast Bar really sweeping a lot of the categories here and coming in at number one for the Cannabis Cup this year. Let's check in with Danny Danko at High Times Magazine. We love the weed. Yes, we love the fun ganja. We love the weed. Yes, we cultivate and listen. We love the weed. Yes, we love the fun ganja. We love the weed. And we cultivate and listen. And joining us today to talk a bit about the Cannabis Cup is the cultivation editor at High Times, Danny Danko. Dan, welcome back here to the show today.
Hey, thanks, Chris. How's it going?
Doing very well today. And though I had a very good Thanksgiving, I know you had a rocking one there with the Cannabis Cup, the biggest one yet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had more people than ever, more sponsors than ever, and more coffee shop entries, more seed company entries, I think, than ever before.
Now, Rick, who we spoke with yesterday, was one of the celebrity judges, along with Redman. Danny, you are the pros pro here. How do you go about judging at the Cannabis Cup?
Well, the first thing you look for is the look and smell, and you sort of check that out, because without that, it's very very unusual for something that doesn't have much of a smell and doesn't really look like much to actually be a really amazing, you know, winner. So basically, you start with that, and you know, you got to go back to the ones that stuck out at you, because there's a lot of great pot, the coffee shop stuff, the seed company stuff. It's all really good, but you really need to find what really rises to the top and sticks out at you, because you're going to be high the whole time. And it's also wise in between, you know, different strains to take a break, take a walk, have some ice cream or something sweet to just sort of bring you back down to earth a little bit. And so I definitely highly recommend, you know, an orange, anything that can sort of, you know, take the taste and the sort of just, I guess, bring you back a little bit.
You know, is it tough with all the flavors and smells? Because there's, you know, that's such a big part of it. Is it tough to isolate those flavors and smells with so much cannabis around?
It is. It is. But you really need to just take your time. I mean, there's a lot riding on this contest, and all these companies really, you know, they're counting on you to really choose wisely. So, you know, you take a few days and, you know, ideally, it would be, you know, a month-long event or a three-month-long event, and you could take a day or two with each strain, but unfortunately, we've got 4 days and you know, 25 entries in each category. So, yeah, so I have the results also. It was in the Cannabis Cup category, which is the major category. It was first place was G13 Haze from Barney's, Chocolope from the Gray Area, which is a really small shop, owned by a couple of Americans, and then Super Silver Haze was third place from Greenhouse United. So that was pretty interesting. Yeah, and then there was, you know, the hash there was Import Hash and Nader Hash. There was the Product Cup and also Best Booth, because many of the companies have booths where they give out free samples and they promote their products and their seeds and grow equipment and things of that nature.
Now, Danny, for those who have never been to a cannabis cup, when you say there are samples being given out, how does that work?
Well, they're not really giving them away. They're basically, packing, a bong or a vaporizer right there for you. You can take a look at the strain. You're not going to walk away with much, I don't think. They really want to promote what it is that they have at their shop or whatever their seeds that they're selling. So they want everybody to get a taste of it so that when it comes time for them to vote, they'll know what they're talking about and they'll have that, fresh in their minds.
And Danny, there is a competition for best seed bank. How is that judged?
Basically, the breeders grow out their own seeds and then enter them into the that's the one that's decided by the celebrity or expert judges. That's the Indica Cup and the Sativa Cup, and those are seed company strains, but they're actually grown out by the breeders and then entered into the contest. And so they only need about 30 grams to enter, because it's not all, 3,000 or 3,500 judges that are trying that. And those are usually basically the best of the best, strains over there. And that was really, that was tough decisions for me as well, being in the room there and trying to choose between, 25 of the world's, most properly grown and top-notch herb, as opposed to, the coffee shop herb, which is great, but not quite as great as something that's grown by the breeders themselves.
Now, we talked before the interview about how, the Amsterdam locals have viewed this Cannabis Cup event over the years, but was there perhaps a greater appreciation for the event because it brought so much business to town this year?
I think there was an appreciation. I think the venue that we had this year was very accommodating and friendly, and that and there was more elbow room, so the people got to sort of stick around and hang out. And I think that Americans are getting it through their heads that you have to be somewhat polite over there, and that they expect a certain amount of respect for their way of doing things. And people are starting to get it, I think. You're running into a lot less of the the stereotypical sort of stoner dumb American wandering around, so I have seen that it seems to be that there's definite appreciation for it.
Now, it was the 20th annual cup this year, and it's gone through its first generation now. Danny, what do you think the future will bring for the cup?
Well, I feel like it's only getting bigger. This year we had a bigger staff over there than ever before. I mean, pretty much everybody from the magazine. So, I feel like, with people like Tommy Chong and Redman and bands like Mo and Honky Tonk Home Slice, it's just growing bigger and bigger. And now we're at a point where we're able to handle the amount of people we get. And I think if we get more people, it'll only grow bigger and better.
And Dan, let me ask you this. What were the best parts of this year's Cannabis Cup for you personally?
A lot of it was just, being able to talk to the different people who show up. Some of them show up every year. Some of them, it's their first trip of the year. And, I got to calling it at one point sort of like this marijuana fantasy camp, because, everybody just goes over there and you just get to hang out with, for me personally, it's like hanging out with my heroes, being around people like Jack Herer and Jorge Cervantes and, Soma and a lot of those people. I mean, I grew up reading their books and they taught me how to grow in a lot of ways. And so, just being among that crowd of people and also just being able to hang out with, the regular, attendee of the cup, I don't know. All the stories that people tell and friendships that are forged forever. I mean, I've met people who've met at the cup and then gotten married, So, I don't know. It's just a very spiritual and cultural event for us in the, marijuana community, where you can actually get together and not be afraid of getting busted. It's pretty significant.
Righto. Righto.
I guess, if I had to say, it would be just, being able to hang out with people who I respect and who I've, been a part of my life, through reading and through, just being a part of the marijuana and hemp community for about 10 or 12 years. Yeah, I also want to send our condolences to Mr. Eddie Lepp and all of his family and friends for the loss of Linda Senti as well, who passed away last Sunday. We're grieving for him here at High Times, and our whole family sends our love to his family.
And you'll find many photos of Eddie at the Cannabis Cup. He was also Freedom Fighter of the Year there. Well, Danny, this has been a wonderful conversation today to hear about the 20th Annual Cannabis Cup from you and Rick this week. Really another international success for the event. So, Danny, many thanks for joining us here today. I look forward to speaking with you again very soon.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks again, Danny. Danny Danko is the cultivation editor at High Times Magazine. We have the complete list of Cannabis Cup winners, and they're going to be posting a lot more information from the Cannabis Cup right up on the High Times website and up on their MySpace blog. We have links to both right up on our website every day at normalaudiostash.com.
High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Have you ever wondered what Amsterdam is all about? Don't just read about the culture that has accepted cannabis. Experience it firsthand with CS Travel's Sensible Amsterdam Tour with Normal. Travel to one of Europe's most beautiful cities this January for an educational and recreational visit to a city that regulates cannabis like alcohol. CS Travel has arranged an exclusive visit for reform-minded Americans that includes a private tour of some of Amsterdam's most renowned coffee shops, educational seminars with coffee shop proprietors, local law enforcement, members of the Cannabis Retailers Association, and Normal staff. Entertainment includes a special evening at the Boom Chicago Comedy Club, canal tours, visits to the city's many museums, including the world-famous Van Gogh Museum. Don't just wonder about Amsterdam. Experience the beauty and freedom of this unique city firsthand with CS Travel and Normal Sensible Amsterdam Tour. Pricing information is available online at coffeeshoptravel.com. That's coffeeshoptravel.com. Or call toll-free at 800-816-1846. That's 800-816-1846. Be a sensible American. Visit Amsterdam with CS Travel and Normal this January. Call 1-800-816-1846 right now to book your trip. More information is available at normal.org.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Last month, a new school opened in Oakland, California, Oaksterdam University. The classes there are training individuals to work in California's cannabis industry. More information is available at oaksterdamuniversity.com, and we have links to it on our website at normalaudiostash.com. The curriculum at Oaksterdam University covers a variety of important topics for those seeking to work in this growing marijuana industry. Coursework includes classes on political and legal issues, horticulture, cooking, production, bud tending, starting a business, and retail management. Today and tomorrow here on the Audio Stash, we're going to be discussing Oaksterdam University. We're beginning today with the chancellor of the school, Danielle Schumacher. Danielle holds the youth board seat at Normal and is also teaching some of the classes at Oaksterdam University. Danielle, welcome here to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks for having me.
Great to speak with you today. Now, Oaksterdam University is offering training for the cannabis industry, so tell us how the classes came about.
Well, the creator, Richard Lee, was inspired by the Cannabis College in Amsterdam, and through his experience in the cannabis industry, especially in Oakland, realized that we need some quality training for this industry. We have to always be looking for good people and practices, and it's a cutting-edge industry that we have to develop almost all internally. So we need places like this where people can come together and learn from experts and take it into the future.
And before the classes, how would folks get involved with the industry?
Obviously, a lot of underground networks of growers and patients and activists, and of course the internet. I mean, what would we do without the internet, especially for this issue, because there's so much information available. Like this podcast, I mean, I was just listening to Ed Rosenthal's, and that's a great source of information right there. And of course his books, and OaksterdamUniversity.com, of course, and OaksterdamInfo.com has a lot of information specifically about Oaksterdam and local policies, resources like that.
And Danielle, it's very interesting looking at the curriculum. There are even extra labs in horticulture and study hall. Right up at the top is politics and legal issues. This is a required section of the course. Students cannot opt out of it. Why is it so important for those looking to work in the cannabis industry to have this as a foundation?
Well, a lot of people sign up for the class or get involved in the industry in general for profit. And so starting with these required classes helps them understand that in order to be successful, they must be dedicated to ending cannabis prohibition. And it's a really complex history and current situation. So without knowing all of that, they don't really know what they're getting into, perhaps. You know, they think, oh, I'm going to show up and learn to grow for myself or sell it for some profit, but there's way more to it than that. And the legal risk, we don't want to just give them all this information and send them out there without them understanding how to take the power back, and especially when they're interacting with police, they need to understand their rights and their risks.
All right, oh, and you mentioned that there are those looking to enter the cannabis industry purely for business sake. Has the cannabis industry become so common there in California that just regular entrepreneurs who are looking at all kinds of business ventures are including this in their list of things to explore?
Yeah, it seems that way. Of course, not everybody gets into it for profit, but there is no end to the demand for this. So if you're one of the first suppliers in your area, you have almost a monopoly. So a lot of business-minded people are catching on really fast, including big business, already established businesses that have an interest in this becoming more fully legal.
So like any other service industry out there, Oaksterdam University seeks to educate those who will make it happen. Now we're going to talk with Richard Lee tomorrow, the president of Oaksterdam University, about the horticulture classes he's teaching, but why is it so important for those who are working in the industry to have this horticultural knowledge base, even if cultivation isn't something they're going to be doing themselves?
Well, they have to know what they're selling. Some people can be a bud tender without using it themselves, but they have to at least understand the complexities of the plant and the differences, because there are so many different types that they're selling and different forms. You know, there's not just the herb, but hash and pills and edibles. All people handle these different forms differently. So you actually have a huge responsibility as a bud tender. You're dispensing medicine, because a lot of these doctors will recommend it but not fully explain it. And a lot of patients, they're going to medicate for the first time just based on your advice and what you sell them. So you have to really know.
And Danielle, you mentioned a few times that word bud tending, and OU offers a class on that same name. The word comes from bartending. Let me ask, is this a common position? Will you see an ad in the paper, you know, declaring openings for bud tenders now?
I'm not sure. I think there's probably some ads in different places for help for dispensaries. I don't know if very many people use the term bud tender, but I think that also comes from Amsterdam style.
Righto. Now, there's also a cooking class for cannabis in the course. Is that part of the business model? Do a lot of facilities produce their own edibles today?
I don't think most dispensaries produce their own edibles, but they usually have a trusted, constant provider of those. So in a way, you know, they have verified for themselves that this is a product they want to continually carry. And it is really important for all dispensaries to have that edible form, because there's a lot of conditions that are best helped by an edible form or only helped by that form, or people who don't want to smoke or use it in other ways.
And cooking also a part of a more fundamental interaction we have as humans with food and each other. Looking further at the curriculum here at Oaksterdam University, retail management comes into play, discussing security, personnel management, and community relations. These are all cornerstones of any successful retail business, but the community relations aspect is certainly something cannabis facilities really have to focus on. We've heard from those involved that having a good relationship with surrounding businesses and those who live in the community are truly essential to the success of a facility. But when it comes to personnel management in the cannabis industry, are there specific factors to consider here?
I guess there is that unique aspect to it, that you're taking a known risk when you take the job in the industry. And it's unique just in the sense that it's new. There's nothing like it, really. And but you have to have experience coming into it. For instance, general retail experience almost anywhere else will give you the experience with people and customers and different company policies and different cash register systems or whatever it is that is going to qualify you to do your job in this industry. And I think it takes a little extra commitment to help develop this industry and to be making things up as we go along a lot of times. You know, it's not like there's a book to follow. I mean, we're trying to create it, obviously, with what we're doing now, but you have to be really creative and motivated to work long-term in this field.
We're with Danielle Schumacher, the Chancellor of Oaksterdam University in California. We have links to them at normalaudiostash.com, and they're offering training for the cannabis industry. Danielle, one of the classes focuses on starting a business. For many would-be business owners, getting the startup capital can be the biggest hurdle, but for those who may already have that capital locked in, can starting up in the cannabis industry perhaps be more difficult than other businesses?
Of course, it is more difficult than starting a lot of other businesses, because you have to choose a place where you'll be allowed to. You have to go through an intense process and have a lot of startup capital. And a location is crucial, not only the city, but the actual building in that city. It's a highly regulated business in some areas, where your choice of where you can open it is really limited, because you can't be near schools and parks and all of that. It varies county to county or city to city, so you have to do a lot of research to come up with your plan, and you have to build the support with officials and neighboring businesses, and you have to have that extra sense of, you know, that what you're doing is right and should be more fully legal, and you have to do it right, because you're under a microscope maybe more than other businesses, because you're creating it as you go, and people are expecting a lot of you.
Now, Oaksterdam University is training individuals for the industry. Is this a good industry to be employed in? I mean, is it a good job to be working in a facility? Are there regular benefits? And could young people be looking more to this industry as a career option, especially in a limited economy?
Yeah, in general, I think bud tending is a really attractive kind of job. It can be really rewarding and fun in a lot of cases, and there's competition for these kinds of jobs, but I think that, you know, the industry is going to continue to grow, and because of that, there are a lot that have benefits, other things offered to attract good candidates to that position, and consistent people, and it's intense, so you have to really have the situation set up right so that you've got someone well-trained who's willing to stick with it and get to know the patients and the product. And we are trying to be good, responsible employers, so we do want to offer as many benefits as possible. In general, I think a lot of dispensaries are like that. I can't say that every dispensary offers health benefits because that's just so ideal. But remember, too, it's California where workers have a lot more rights than in a lot of other parts of the country. So we're holding ourselves to a pretty high standard, which, we're glad to be a part of that.
And Danielle, you're about to graduate your first Oaksterdam University class. Let me ask how the folks have responded to the course and how have they made it through, do you think?
They were amazing. They were a range of kinds of students. They showed up for different reasons, but they all showed up early and they were attentive the whole time and had a lot of questions about all kinds of different things. And they stayed the whole time and limited the amount of time they spent, on their phone outside or in the bathroom. They really wanted to absorb everything, and I think they really right away could grasp how serious we were about this and how special it is that they could be a part of this groundbreaking project and the first class. I mean, we didn't make so big of a deal of it in the beginning, but I think they just felt it, and they all got to know each other, and some of them will probably eventually be in business together in a sense, because I know they were all talking on breaks and brainstorming together, especially the ones who have that entrepreneurial goal. And then the other ones who are just there to learn, maybe for themselves or a friend, they were just soaking it up. I mean, everything they could, and really respected the instructors and understood that these were experts and that these materials should be digested as much as possible, and they want to come back for more. They were kind of like, well, what else? What's next? which is what we want. I mean, like I said, a lot of them maybe thought, oh, I'll go and learn about growing, but right away they got really drawn into the politics and the history and the fight to make this more legal. So while it's obviously medical in California, we were also really talking about legalization and cannabis for all adults, all responsible adults.
And looking at this first class, do they seem like they have a better chance for success in the cannabis industry after taking the course?
Yeah, they got insider information on Oaksterdam businesses, and you can't get that anywhere else. And that is experience that other dispensaries will recognize, and even activist organizations, other activist organizations like nonprofits, or just if they want to get involved in different events or maybe discussions online or something, they got a lot of really valuable experiences that no one else has had. And even the classes after them, it's only 20 people in a class, so I think they can understand that it's a special, unique experience.
Righto. Well, Danielle, this has been a wonderful conversation today. And folks, the next class is signing up now at Oaksterdam University. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. Danielle, many thanks for joining us today. I look forward to checking in with you regularly about the Oaksterdam University new classes coming online in the future. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking the time and doing this show all the time. It's great.
Thanks again. Danielle Schumacher is the Chancellor of Oaksterdam University, training for the cannabis industry in California. We're going to continue talking about Oaksterdam University tomorrow with the President, Richard Lee. And again, we have links to Oaksterdam University right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com.
Listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting Technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.